Get ready, it's episode 91. This just in. Anyone can play guitar.
Coming to you from the protrusion. It's the tone just control.
That's it.
Protrusion.
Push record.
Yeah. GarageBand looks different last time I used it.
What happened?
It updated and now it's like a fresh UI and it's just shinier and like flatter, even flatter still. So that's okay.
The
it still
flattest.
Works.
The flattest.
So flat. Arranging my windows here. Mm-hmm. Everything's good. How are you?
Okay now.
Oh?
I had some dentistry done today.
Hmm.
Nothing too severe, but they did get all numbed up.
Really?
It. Yeah, and I scheduled it for 11. That was when I could fit it in, so I was still numb till like 4:30 or 5.
That's like, yeah, that's a ruin your whole day.
It it's a ruin my eating schedule because I didn't dare eat lest I bite my tongue off. So I was really starving and I just ate a giant dinner.
I have some dentistry on the horizon.
Yeah.
That I'm a little less than excited about, but
it's not hard to not be excited about a lot of dentistry.
Yeah. It's I gotta look at it like preventative maintenance.
Yeah.
You know, I gotta look at it like a car or something, which is hard, but I don't know. And it's not even a big deal. I have to get my wisdom teeth out soon. Uh-huh. And I don't even have an appointment or anything. I needs to be done. And yeah, it's just there kind of just looming in the background and so not looking forward to
it. What they were doing was basically cleaning under my gums.
Oh.
So like yeah, like I guess I just kind of got a little bit. I guess what they see is they see the gums sort of pull back, and it's like a reaction to just having a little bit not cleaned well enough in there for too long, sort of thing. So I was like doing good on the surface teeth, but anyway, so they use they use this thing that is like a sonic, it's like an ultrasonic pick with water.
Oh yeah.
So it's this ultrasonic little metal thing that shoots water out of it too. And they of course have to numb you for it because they get to kind of get in there. And that would suck. But it's not a big deal when I'm numb, but it's so loud because it's conducting through the bone into my ears.
Straight up cleaning your skeleton.
Yeah. It's just with the super high-pitched, crazy...
And it's not like you could wear earplugs or anything because it's totally vibrating your skull.
So that was the worst part, really. But anyway, I'm better. Hey, I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, we were on vacation.
Yeah, I heard you saw some bison.
I did. Yeah. I saw probably like 30 or 40, I think.
Cool.
Total, at great distances, and then... like 4 or 5 really close.
Like cross the road.
Like cross the road. Like looking back now, I realize I shouldn't have taken a silly photo with one and not kept eyes on it the whole time. But we went to Grand Teton and Yellowstone National Park.
Cool.
And it was like the coolest thing. And if anybody is thinking about going there, I can only say you should totally go because it's extraordinary and it's
do it before the super volcano explodes.
Do it before before or after the great North American solar eclipse this year too.
Oh yeah, I heard something about that coming up.
Yeah, it's in August and it's passing right over the parks. So it's already this incredibly picturesque, beautiful place, and it's just gonna be unreal. So like they've already, the whole town is ready for it. They got the t-shirts and the stickers and the posters and, you know, the eclipse 2017. So, but yeah, the super volcano is a very, you know, I didn't know a lot about Yellowstone before we went. And when you're
isn't that what it is? It's like a, I mean, besides all the other stuff, there's like sort of a giant dome under there, we think.
Yeah, it's like a big collapsed volcano. And it's on, when you get a map, when you walk, when you drive into the park, they give you a map. And there's this like big circle around the middle and it says approximate caldera boundary.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, we're like, I know what that word is, but what does that mean? So we're kind of like looking it up and it's like, oh shit, this is like, this thing's going to blow any minute. And it's this huge super volcano. And it's pretty much like if it were to blow up, it would blanket the whole country or something insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is what leads to the geysers and the hot springs. Mm-hmm. And it's why there's so much geothermal activity there in the first place. So, but if you can put that to the back of your mind that you're, in, you know,
that you're standing on,
that
a
you're
bomb.
Fairly at risk in the park. It's absolutely amazing. And I would recommend it to anyone.
Righteous.
Yeah. The elevation, man, is a thing
you
I don't.
It?
Oh, yeah.
How high is it there?
It is the same height as Mount Washington, the highest peak in New Hampshire.
6,000?
6,200. Mm-hmm. So that's the town. And then anything you're doing is hundred feet above that.
Climbing above that, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. I've only ever been at that elevation for a few hours, I think.
When you're doing things like hiking and stuff, you definitely notice it, of course. It's you don't get lightheaded, or I didn't anyway, and some people do, but we don't get headaches or lightheaded or anything, but you get that, like, I can't catch my breath right now, and that action of taking a really deep breath and having that satisfying feeling, it doesn't exist.
It's a little less,
you can't achieve that feeling of, I just took a really deep breath, which is a little concerning when you're like on the trail and you're like, am I having a problem here? But it's just, you gotta take a
lung
lot.
Attack.
Yeah. But you gotta just take more breaks that are a little longer and have a lot of water and stuff. So it's not too bad.
Sounds fun. Well, I didn't do anything like that. Just got my teeth buzzed.
I was just going to say, when I went to this, we went to a new dentist because we moved into this house and stuff. And the first appointment there, they measured all of my teeth.
Yeah, that's what they did. And, the gaps, right? They like gapped all your gums. They
are these, kind of.
Yeah, they have something.
Where they push it back, right?
They measure the pocket for how deep it is. And anything over 4 millimeters, they consider to be inflamed and need to be cleaned out.
Yeah, it was. I've never had that done. It was incredible.
Yeah,
dentistry technology has come a long way.
They took a ton of pictures of me too.
I had one of those crazy 360 x-rays.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't have that. I had a few kind of normal x-rays. And then they took some pictures. Like they pried my mouth open and she had like a DSLR and she just leaned in and she was like snapping pictures at different angles.
Nice.
And it's like, they're going to use that to compare like the progress of things. And then there's one spot. They're like, this isn't a cavity, but we want to keep our eyes on it, you know, keep your fluoride rinse going and stuff.
That's what I got going on
and
too.
And she's like, we've seen these come back without needing to be drilled out. So
yeah, that's what they told me too. So
she took a picture. She had like a pen shaped thing that was like a laser photography thing. And she pressed it onto the tooth and it like took a picture of the tooth.
Wow. Oh, I think they did that. Yeah, I think I had that done. It's crazy though.
It's
like
technology.
The x-ray thing was wild because you just, it's this huge rotate? Machine. And no, I stand still, standing up. You bite this thing and it just like, it makes a total 180 around your dome. And it just like, you see it at the end, you got a panorama of your jaw.
Whoa.
And it's like, you can see just like your whole, all the teeth like fan out up into your, like the roots go up and stuff. It's bananas, man. It's pretty cool. Anyway.
Teeth, everybody. Go to
dentistry.
The dentist.
Yeah, seriously.
It's important. Anyway, that's not guitar related at all.
Mm.
Is it?
Nope.
Hey, do you think that episode was worthwhile? I was
I
a little
so.
Worried. Honestly, once I put it together, I was like, boy, did I talk a long time about almost nothing. But when I listened back to it, it was like, holy crap. I said,
no, I think it was good.
Like
I kind of, I don't know, obviously, but I like to think that people would prefer some sort of update from us.
yeah.
versus no update from us. So like if, on my podcast, even if they're like, hey, only got 5 minutes, but here's what's going on. Like, it's still nice to just sure. keep with your listening schedule and things like that.
Okay, good. Well, yours is the opinion I care most about.
I'm the only listener, remember?
Yeah, that's right.
We do this podcast for me.
Yeah, but we've got to have a pretty regular episode now. And this is not 90. This is, no, is 91. Because I definitely said...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, last time. We don't have any notes for the last episode.
That's right. Okay, yeah. Notes, I'm looking through the notes. I was like, no, we did that 88, 89 thing. Is that why you're confused?
Negative. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. I heard you when I called you. You said you were listening to my Blender demo.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about that here and now? I mean, is that...
Sure, that's fine. I'm just...
It's kind of a long demo, I know, but it's...
Well, I listened to part of it, but anyway, I'm going to have the robot speak, and then we'll jump right into that.
Oh, yes, yes. Man, out of practice.
Thanks to Pedal Genie for sponsoring the Tone Control. Visit pedalgenie.com and start your wish list today.
Neato.
Thanks, Pedal Genie. And yeah, I started to... So the Blender demo, so this is the pick guard installed on your... Stratocaster yeah. that you made that is available for sale if anyone's interested. Mm-hmm. And you made a demo of the Blender pickup selector device.
Yeah. And I tried to play a thing that was like strummy and a little arpeggiated and would like best demonstrate the sounds. Mm-hmm. It's still sort of one of those things that's got a lot to do with feel, and it's also much clearer in the room. But
well, you can definitely hear the direct yeah. comparison. So it's about 3 minutes. Should we run it? And then, I mean, if this is included in the notes, here's what I think. Let's drop it in now, and we'll include in the notes what you're hearing, the blends and the different things like that, and then we can talk about it. And I'll say, if you really don't care, skip ahead 3 minutes and 7 seconds from now. we're back.
We're really glad you listened.
Or didn't.
Or didn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the first position is the neck.
Mm-hmm.
And then I blend in the bridge pickup.
So you like
at 100%. So.
Oh, okay.
So all the blends. Yeah. All the blends. So the blend is controlled by the second tone pot, and it's not a tone pot anymore. It is the blender, and it's a 0 to 100% range of the other pickup. So when you're on the neck pickup, it blends in the bridge. So when it's at 10, it's sort of backwards, but when it's at maximum, it is only neck pickup. When it's at minimum, it is neck and bridge pickup equally.
Right.
So because it's a pot, you can turn it anywhere in between that and dial in just as much as you want or blend in as much as you want. So it goes neck bridge, neck middle, standard strat setup, and then blended with bridge again. So neck middle bridge.
Neck middle, and then add the bridge. Okay.
Yes. Middle pickup. The blender does not work with the middle pickup, so it's just standard middle pickup.
Mm-hmm.
Then middle bridge, standard strat setup. Then middle bridge with the neck blended in. And then bridge alone. And then bridge with neck blended in, which sounds exactly like neck with.
Yeah. Okay. So that was my question was, now, because I don't have it in my ear right now, but there's a couple of positions here which are just mirrors of each other. So I'm assuming those sound the same.
Only neck and bridge together sounds the same.
So then on your middle bridge blended with neck doesn't sound like neck middle blended with bridge.
It does not, because of the whole series parallel thing.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Tell me more. So what's in series and what's in parallel?
I always get this wrong. I was wishing you didn't ask me that.
If some of them are in... If some of them are, all right, one or the other, that effectively that's meaning that they are acting as humbuckers.
Right, they do.
And then you're blending in another.
They cancel the hum. So, well, it's partly because the middle pickup is reverse wound, though. So that's why the hum is gone. Never mind.
That's true if you put them in.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right, because humbuckers are reverse wound, too.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah. I'm sorry, maybe it's not series parallel, but it's phase or out of phase.
Okay, well, that's
that the same
could,
thing.
That could be.
Could be, I guess, right?
It could be.
To put this in a easier to understand way, I guess, it sounds like those pickup positions, like the 2 and 4 positions on strats, are the classic strat sounds.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like that, but even more. So it just takes that sound, like that scoopy, you know, like the 4 position, that really like John Mayer-y tone, and like that, just like. Yeah, like scooped, but clear and bell-like. And it just like juices it up to 11. And it gives it this extra, it doesn't add in twang, because like you're adding in the bridge pickup, but it doesn't add in this like harsh thing. It adds just like this extra little bit of clarity and punch that works well with the existing 4 position. And the same for the 2 position. So it's almost like, it's not a booster. It's not like a preamp.
Doesn't feel louder.
Like it's not louder. Mm-hmm. It just takes that sound and like almost exaggerates it even more. So, it's sort of hard to point out in the demo, I guess. But
it's all right. It is what it is.
It's cool though, because there are so many sounds available on this Strat, and it's got the treble bleed circuit on it too, and it's like
that sounds
like great.
An amazing wiring setup.
It's a work of art.
Very so, awesome.
Yeah. Cool.
Very good. All right. So next up in news that isn't straight out of one of our mouths.
Straight out of someone else's mouth. Straight out of
someone else's mouth, the Hall of Fame Reverb 2 from TC.
Hall of Fame 2. I have a Hall of Fame Mini now.
Oh, you do?
I do. It's great.
Is it pretty cool, right? You kind of just find your thing, flash it with the
tone print. Yeah, I found a great tone print that I messed around with a bunch for a long time and just kept coming back to this one. I don't even know what it's called. It might be like piano reverb or something like that, but it's it just gives it the right amount of space. It's not springy or anything. It's like a hall, but it's dark and like a little modulated. It's really nice.
Huh.
Anyway, the Hall of Fame 2 features the Mesh foot switch.
So this seems to be relatively the same. Stereo in and out. Is, I don't know if there's, it doesn't look like there's anything particularly new about it, except this thing. So they've turned their foot switch into a kind of expression.
Into a very tiny expression pedal.
Very tiny pressure sensing expression.
Yep.
So what do you express with this?
Any it does parameter? Different things depending on the reverb settings. And it is tone print enabled still, so it can control multiple parameters if you build your own tone prints. Wow. Or I'm sure even artist tone prints that would manipulate other things too. So it's like you just, you push on it. It's a standard on and off switch. It looks just like the old pedal.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you tap it once on, once off. And then if you like lean on it, it's going to express. It's going to increase the decay or the level or the mix or something like that.
You can make it like dwell or you could set it.
Or I'm sure like with modulated reverbs, you could have like vibrato, like pulse in or something and then go away when you step off. So that's pretty neat, huh? It also now features shimmer reverb, which a lot of people were really wanting.
Oh, okay.
And TC didn't have, so pretty neat.
That looks cool.
Yep. It's based on the technology of the sub and up octave pedal that they make.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just a matter of time.
Not too long ago.
Yeah, I remember people were like making tone prints that were a close approximation of shimmer, and they still didn't really hit it. So TC is now just including it. Also, just a couple days ago, I saw, because this note is from a couple of weeks ago, the Flashback 2 is out now as well.
Oh.
And it's the same deal. It's got the Mesh button. So you can set probably like set your delays to self-oscillate when you push hard. Right. Or something like that. You could increase the mix or whatever.
Again, modulation or...
Yep. The Flashback 2 features updated analog and tape algorithms. So those are going to sound a little better.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. And there's a new delay sound called Crystal Delay, which features sounds from the 7-Up again and the 2290, which is TC's famous digital delay.
Delay.
Yep. They're very crystal clear digital delay. So...
So I like on this that we have all the different reverbs, and I'm sure this is the same for the other one, but then there's these 1, 2, and 3, essentially just preset slots that you can tone print things into.
Yeah. So I think it only used to include one tone print, right?
Yeah, my Flashback only has one.
Right. But my Flashback X4 has 4. I couldn't remember if it was 3 or 4.
But that makes it incredibly useful because you can, you know, you're not left. Oh, I had to change reverb sounds. Let me plug into the tone print or spew it out of your phone or whatever.
Yeah. So you can have 3 customized settings along with the other, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 8 reverb sounds that are built right in.
So I would hope that this is cool, but this is one of those things where you'd got to try it.
Yeah.
To know if, does it really work? Can you really express with it?
Yeah, I think it's probably more to do with like, probably feels great in the moment, like playing hard, leaning on your board and stuff. Like that's probably cool. It might be hard to practice with.
Mm-hmm.
But
if you're careful setting the ranges and stuff like that, because I bet what you don't have is like, you know, you're going to miss a wide throw from a regular expression pedal. So if you're trying to do detailed expression work, this would be
difficult to do I wonder if you can adjust the, like, how much pressure is required. You probably can. It would probably just be like keep parameter at 0 until 70% or something.
Could be, I'm picturing setting the ranges, so like the maximum pressure, minimum pressure might only be 5% of that control's range, but that's the sweet spot you would actually want to wiggle in it. So if you were trying to like express with a more detailed pedal, you might only be moving your foot a tiny bit. Well, with this, you can just restrict the range to that, and then you'd be fine. So it's probably a pretty simple programming way around it.
It's also got a mini toggle switch for short or long pre-delay, and then an LED for the And then a mesh LED, which will like glow as you're leaning on the pedal.
Feedback. Yeah. Visual feedback of your mashing.
Mm-hmm. I also wonder about the survivability of this, like this mechanical switch.
Yeah.
That, you know, yeah. Hopefully it doesn't break, you know.
Sure, sure. Oh, my face does kind of ache.
Hmm. No, you got a case of ache face?
I got a minor case of the ache face here. I feel like something was done to me earlier.
You didn't wake up in a bathtub full of ice or anything, right?
They took my teeth. Yeah, the numbness wears off, and I realize I have no teeth on that side of my mouth.
Wait a minute.
Oh, shit. Okay, anyways.
Yeah, you cut out for like just a split second, and it sounded like, oh, no, they took my knees.
Somebody really wanted those knees.
They reattached the bottom, the lower leg, so you're just like a trunk all the way down.
Just like walking on stilts.
Yeah.
Hobbling along.
So we sit here and wobble at each other. Oh, God.
That was a pretty weird tangent.
Yep. Hey.
We're back, baby.
All right. That's what I, you know, when I was up here, I was like cleaning my office a little bit today. Was thinking, oh, podcast tonight. And whenever we go, or one of us or me or whatever goes a extended period without doing the show, things for the podcast drift further and further away from like where they usually live. They get tucked into corners and like all the stuff that I usually arrange on my desk for the show, I had to have some serious like, how do I do this again? To find all the things I need.
Which end of this mic do I talk into?
Yeah, I was like, does this go here or over there? Okay. So anyway.
Well, it seems like we're doing okay.
I think we're fine.
Yeah, we're hey. It's all good.
Cool. Want to talk about pedals?
Yeah. Oh, shit. I got to do this then. I did not include the robot in my short episode. And here we go. Pedal Genie.
Pedal Genie is like the Netflix of guitar pedals. Rent any pedal you want for as long as you want, for one low monthly price. Shipping is included and there are no late fees or time limits. With over 1,500 pedals to try from nearly 100 different manufacturers, Pedal Genie definitely has the gear you want to try. Subscriptions start with Flex at just $19.95 a month. Try out one pedal at a time for as long as you want, send it back when you're ready for the next one. For only $39.95 a month, the standard subscription includes shipping, so you could have a different pedal every few days. If one isn't enough for you, Pedal Genie Pro gets you 3 pedals at a time for only $64.95 a month, shipping included. There's a subscription for everyone and best of all, your first month is free. If you find the pedal of your dreams, the one you just have to keep, Pedal Genie will offer you a buyout option. Prices vary with the length of your membership and the type of pedal, but you'll definitely get an awesome price for the pedal in your hand. So head to pedalgenie.com to fill up your wish list with pedals, and they'll send out your first pedal ASAP. Pedal Genie, all your pedal wishes granted.
Granted.
I forgot to ask you, are you drinking a beer?
I'm not. The only beers in this house are destined for New Hampshire. Saving them. So oh, can't right. be mad
I
at
can
me.
Live with that. I'm drinking the 603 5th Anniversary IPA. They just turned 5.
Aw, that's so cute. And you want to pinch them?
And they made this beer that I was actually on vacation during the event that they launched this, and it sold out in one day. And they're not making it anymore. It was just a one-off thing. So a friend of mine was so generous enough to buy me a six-pack. He just like preemptively thought like, I'll grab one.
These are going to sell out.
Just in case it sold out. And then like the next day they posted somewhere that they didn't have any left. So it's good, man.
That's awesome.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Just fizzy water for me over here.
It's
all right.
I'm kind of drinking fizzy water.
Right? We made we made Mexican last night. We made tequila. We made margaritas. I almost said we made tequila. We did not make tequila from our homegrown cactuses.
Be pretty impressive.
It would. Maybe that'll be my next trick. But no.
Hmm. I made pickles today.
Does it take a day to make pickles?
No, but I did them today.
You began the pickle process?
Yeah. So they're in the fridge. Picklin.
Picklin.
The picklin bell.
The picklin bell. Hey, who wants to go first?
You want to go first.
All right. I got a new pedal. Hey, I made a whole episode out of a pedal. So
I saw that. Yeah, that was. Anyway. I'm glad I got to hear it again. That was cool.
Yeah, in its right context. Okay, so, yeah. But I'm finally back on the having a pedal for the show train, and I've got one from Earthquaker. I think this was a pretty recent release.
I think it is. Yeah.
I have a memory recently of talking about the Earthquaker Devices transmitter. Transmitter is a reverb of sorts. And since it's Earthquaker, we know we should probably read from their page because they put some of their heart and soul into it here. So the transmitter is a modulated reverb with extra long decay fed into a highly resonant filter. So should I keep reading or should I talk up my own voice? I don't know what's better. I don't need to read their whole thing, but yeah, it's a crazy kind of sonic landscape creation device.
Yeah, I heard your demo. It sounds really cool.
So my demo is, you hear a long, splashy reverb where, because I only use one setting in the demo, it sounds like there's just sort of a very modulated, very splashy, long, very long reverb. But there is a lot, like the resonant filter is a big part of this. And you can't really hear it unless you're sweeping it. And this does have an expression input, but you sweep it in till you find where it's resonating best with what you're playing at that moment. And that's where you want it to be. So then it just kind of works with the key of the chords you're playing and stuff.
Nice.
And it's very long. My demo is almost the minimum decay setting.
Okay. I was wondering about that.
and it's like I basically found this is one of those pedals where you could stray into musically unusable territory. You just strike a note and you're sitting there for 3 minutes. Well, it does its thing. So I have very minimum settings and I turned the rate up. The controls here. So we've got decay, darkness, frequency, warp, rate, and mix. So mix is pretty obvious how much reverb you want in with your signal. Decay is also pretty obvious how long you want the reverb to be. But the range on this thing is very long. The minimum setting is still very, very long.
That's
it's
what I thought.
Always going to sound like this pedal. There's no way around it. But at the minimum setting, it's a little less like droney on for 3 minutes. So the darkness is basically a tone control.
Bell. There we go. Bell was broken for a second.
Triple bell. So those all make perfect sense. So the frequency control is the center frequency for the resonant filter.
Mm-hmm.
That has a big effect on what this is doing, and as you play and you sweep that around, you'll hear it kind of whoosh, like a wah pedal sort of thing to the reverbed signal, the reverbed part of the effect, and you'll make it either work or not work with what you're playing based on where you stick that.
Okay.
You know, and there's probably a few different spots where it's going to be in the right zone. You know, maybe I'll go low within the key, high out of the key, high in the key, kind of that sort of thing.
Sure.
Find a spot where it's working, it's emphasizing the parts that you want it to and stuff like that. Then there is there's a rate control, which is it's a hardwired optimum depth for the speed of the system-wide modulation in a narrow range. So the rate knob adjusts the modulation, but it's not really adjusting. I mean, it's adjusting the depth and the speed, but they kind of go together. So as you sweep this around, like different things happen, and you'll just find that some spots will work. You know, it does go sort of faster on one end, slower on the other. Uh-oh. Are you scared?
No.
No.
The last one was a doozy.
She's watched. What? She watches Criminal Minds, and sometimes the episodes scare her.
I watched a little bit of that like early on. I remember it being a really good show.
Yeah, seems pretty good. Serial killer. Yeah. Procedural about serial killers and
yeah, the, cop drama sort of.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So it's rough sometimes, but anyway, that was an interruption. It turns out it's just a popcorn interruption.
Ah,
so, yeah.
Please, bitch.
That's right. So anyway, I was talking about the rate control. Yeah. So it adjusts aspects of the modulation system wide, and it's the depth and the speed kind of at the same time, and it all kind of sweeps them around, and you find spots that work depending on what you're playing. Some are going to sound different than others. And then the last control is a warp control, which is a system slew control.
Okay.
So
we heard about this somewhere else. Was it Earthquaker?
Well, it might have been. So in electronics, the slew rate refers to like the sort of minimum time that it takes for electronic components to change state.
Okay.
To, you know, maybe to go from a high to one part of this, to like the top, if in an AC signal from the top part of the wave to the bottom, or if it's a compressor, it's like the time it would take the electronic components to react and start taking effect.
Right.
So anyway, in this circuit, their system-wide slew control just sort of affects the whole mood of the pedal. And you're hearing a lot. There's several of these controls that sort of affect the whole pedal in some way, and it's as you turn it clockwise, the whole thing kind of tightens up, becomes they say more refined. It does kind of. It's clearer, but there's nothing clear about anything this pedal's doing. But it's clearer clockwise, and it's. Sure. More mellow, more free, more sloppy the other way. Mm. And I don't really get it because it's not changing the timing of the... It's not changing how long the decay is, you know, but it's changing how long certain things take to happen. And
that's pretty interesting.
Between that and the darkness control, you know, you can... That's sort of like the mood of the thing. And then the rate and the frequency, you can align them with the notes you're playing. I feel like that's kind of the idea here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds like a handful.
Yeah, and it has an expression pedal with a pedal. It has an expression input.
Did you get to mess with that?
Which I don't have an expression pedal, and this one would really be worthwhile.
Yeah.
I'm trying to. I'm looking because okay. So yeah, the expression will control the frequency knob, so that will allow you to do wah.
You can pretty much wah the echo. Yeah.
Wah the echo a little bit, which would be very neat.
They say you're going to love what it does to your space.
Yes. it's its own thing, for sure. Oh, a funny thing. When I Earthquaker does this, they do a great job of putting all their stuff on the top. Input, output, and power all on the top of the pedal where it ought to be. When I plopped this down and plugged everything in, and I was getting nothing out of it. I was getting no signal whatsoever, even with the pedal off. And I went, what's going on here? So I kind of look at it for a while, and I turn the pedal on, and there's noise.
And the LEDs on and everything?
Yeah, there's noise in my amp, but I turn it off, and I've still in neither state do I have any guitar signal. What's going on? What is happening to me? I was thinking, shoot, is this a broken pedal? Nope. Mm-mm. I plugged into the expression input instead of the input.
Well, there's your
like
problem.
A dummy. Yeah. So expressions on the side, everybody. It's not the input. Fair warning.
Yeah.
It happened to me. Now it doesn't have to happen to you.
The more you know.
Yeah. So the transmitter resonant reverberations lists for $225.
Cool.
It comes in a pleasant dark pink screen print on black sparkly Can you see the sparkles? Yeah. Black sparkly. I have serial number 1663.
Yeah.
And that's that.
That is that. Nice. Well, thanks for that, Justin.
Hey, you're welcome.
I had the EHX Super Pulsar.
It's a big, Super Pulsar. Big pedal. Holy crap. Oh, yeah, I remember this coming through the news cycle.
Yeah. It's fair warning. I just heard one of my neighbors start a motorcycle. So there's a good chance someone's going to just totally brap by my window in a few minutes. So this is
this is literally a collapsed star.
It can probably sound like one. It's there is a lot to do on this pedal. There's six jacks.
But is that enough?
So we've got mono in and out, of course, and then so stereo in and out, and then we've got expression in, and then tap or click in.
Tap or click in, okay.
Yep. There's 3 foot switches for bypass, tap tempo. Sorry, this is a tremolo. I don't know if I mentioned that. This is Super Pulsar stereo tap tremolo. Tap for the tremolo speed, and then a preset mode. So there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think there's 9 or 10 total presets that it can hold because it displays the LEDs differently.
Hmm.
There's 9 at the top, but I think it'll hold a 10th.
And I think all off.
The final preset, I didn't hook it up stereo, but it ping-pongs the LEDs, so I think it stereo pans your tremolo. So with the tap control, there is a tap divide, so like a subdivision tap thing, so you can get your dotted eighth repeat or tremolo kind of thing, which is great. And then dotted expression mode. Yeah. You've got expression mode controls, so the expression pedal control will change with this. It's like a pen, like a push-push pen-click top thing. Both of these tap divide and expression mode are just like push-push buttons. So the expression can control rate, depth, shape, phase, or volume.
Oh, phase. That would be interesting.
There are also 2 smaller push-push controls for a rate multiplier, which it works in threes. So you can tap in your rate, then you can double it, and then double it again, and then back to original.
Okay.
Then there's also a wave invert button, which will take whatever tremolo wave you have and completely flip it around. So if you've got something that's like going like a whoop, whoop, it'll go buh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then across the top, there's like even more. So volume, there's RT phase. And is that return phase? Is that what that means, you think? Rate phase?
I don't know. It's phase of, I would just assume it would be phase of the wave. You know, like does it start at 0?
It starts at 0, at noon it's at 180, and then all the way up it's at 360.
Yeah. So you're just rotating the phase of the wave. Okay. So, like if you picture, have you ever seen an oscilloscope where?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can see like a frozen image of the waveform that's happening. Like if it's a steady frequency, the way a tremolo would be. And then when they rotate the phase, it's almost like that waveform is sliding left and right within the view of the, so the start point used to be on its way up the wave. Well, if you turn it 180 degrees, it would be on its way down the down wave sort of thing. And then 360 is a funny thing. Like 359 would be almost back at the start again.
Yeah. So then there's a control for the wave where we've got sine wave, sawtooth, and square wave in the first 50%. And the second 50% is a series of rhythms that the tremolo will do.
Huh.
There is shape, which you can do like you can lean the tremolo wave one way or the other. So at noon, it's a totally even, equal up and down, equal left to right, or equal left to right. I should say.
The graphics that they're drawing on this are they're saying like if it's a sawtooth, it'll be shaped like this, and if it's a square wave,
so like you can have the downward square wave be shorter than the upward square wave. And vice versa. Then we've got depth and rate. And then on those controls, there are 2 small trim pot type things, mini pots, that are notched at 12 o'clock that are envelopes, plus or minus, for envelope depth and envelope rate. So what that means is the harder you play, the pedal will do a thing. So it can increase or decrease the depth and increase or decrease the rate.
As you hit it harder.
As you hit it harder. So you can, if you're playing,
you can express it with your hand instead of with a foot pedal.
Yeah. So one setting that I thought was great was you can set it so the envelope, the depth is off when you're playing hard. And then as you sustain, it slowly comes
it
in.
It begins to tremolo on you.
It begins on, as your notes decay, as you're like the big rock chord at the end, you know.
Oh, that is outstanding. Whoa, 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 whoa.
It's so cool. The presets are all over the place. It'll do stuff. I think they're just factory presets. So I just clicked through them and messed around a little bit with that. But like, this is a real knob turny pedal. Being able to invert the wave is very cool. And like, I bet when you're set up with stereo, this thing just opens up another tenfold.
Another dimension. It's a portal to a different world.
Well, because I bet you can dial in or out like certain cancellations or something if you wanted. Would be my guess. So, but being able to do the rate and stuff, and you can, the harder you play, the slower the tremolo goes, or it disappears, or like the depth really exaggerates. So you could play soft, totally clean, and then play hard, and it gets really choppy if you want. So anyway, I did a demo, and I tried to kind of demonstrate some of these sounds. So the main like chordy guitar part is with the envelope rate to the positive. And I think just the depth is also slightly...
So it'll speed up when you dig into it?
But it will also... The depth is also minus, so it will not be as deep when I'm playing hard. But when it decays, it increases or decreases the rate as the notes decay and increases the depth as the notes decay.
Okay.
And it's all really sensitive, which is very cool. So you can dial it in. Lots of range, yeah. I mean, you can have it go so fast it's a ring modulator, or you can have it go so slow that it's off. And just everywhere in between. So I did not mess with external taps or expressions because there's already so much that this thing can do. It was like not worth it. And I think having a tap on a tremolo is so great.
Yeah.
Just like so, so cool. So I was able to tap right into the drum beat and get some cool stuff. And the little lead part is like kind of leaning the waveform in a weird way. And like, I don't think it has a rhythm on it, but it's got like, it's an asymmetrical tremolo. This is a hell of a pedal, and it's you can tell it's one of EHX's sort of like, this is really what we do.
We've done kinda, it, yeah.
Yeah.
Like the big pogs and stuff.
Yeah, it's in that kind of sort of tier. But 237.60 at Sweetwater.
Boy, it'd be a lot more if it was from some other company, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, MSRP is 316.80. And it's a regular 9-volt
316.82.
Yeah, power's on the top. And then, like I said, there's 6 jacks, so there's 3 on each side. It's
it's
a monster. It's very cool, though. And it's, if you like really messing with tremolos and like creating just like cool, choppy rhythms and stuff,
yeah, some of that this stuff, is hard those, to beat. Those envelope controls sound awesome.
It's awesome. And because there's a detent at noon, you don't have to use it at all.
Yeah.
So it's plus or minus, yeah.
Yeah.
Good shit.
Awesome.
Thanks to Pedal Genie.
It's big, but it fits in a Pedal Genie box.
It's big. It's actually almost as big as my desktop hard drive here. It does fit in a Pedal Genie box, a standard one, not a pro or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Correct.
It's the goodness. The Super Pulsar by Electro Harmonix.
Very good, very good.
I think our friend Abe has one of these.
Oh, really?
I think you might, yeah.
Have you heard any of their new album? I don't think it's come out yet. I've been
listening. I went to see them. Like,
Oh yeah. So like, you probably heard some tracks.
Well, I don't know, because they handed me a CD that day. So it must be, maybe it is
ready.
But this was like 4 months ago. So
I couldn't.
Maybe even longer.
Maybe a month ago, he sent me some mix, his in progress mixes to give him some feedback on, and then I heard him again. I think last week. Updates and there's some pretty cool stuff there. There's a couple of spots where I was like, aha, there's some guitar heroics in there that I'm not ashamed about.
Nice.
Yeah. It's cool.
Very cool. Anyway. I'm looking forward to it. Feels good. Talking about pedals.
Absolutely. So let's slide on here to Gibson.
Yeah. We're going to finally talk about the mystery guitar from Gibson.
So this news officially hit like after we pushed stop on recording on the last podcast we all recorded together. And then Derek went on a trip and we didn't do a real episode. This has been sitting there forever. So
you've probably seen this already is what we're saying.
Yeah, you probably know. What is this called anyway?
It's called the Gibson Modern Double Cut.
Oh, that's a stupid name. Okay, whatever. The Gibson Modern Double Cut. So this turns out to be the thing that we saw in the background of a picture of CES months and months and months ago that nobody knew anything about, and we were making guesses and they were wrong. Mm-hmm. So
it's just a new guitar.
Yeah, it's a new guitar. It's like a PRS that Gibson made. Do we have to say anything else about it?
I mean, yeah, that's what a lot of people are saying.
It is. I mean, look at the controls. Yeah. Two knob with one switch, and they're laid out like a PRS. It's shaped sort of more like a PRS than like a Gibson, although not exactly.
You know what it is? The lower body is that of a Les Paul, and the upper where the horns are that of a PRS.
It's the lower is still different, though. It's not like a Les Paul. It's not quite as hooked.
It's not, yeah, well...
Anyway.
It's not. It's more oval shaped, I think, than it is round.
Egg-shaped.
Like a Les Paul. Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, Gibson made a PRS, whatever. Yeah.
So it's still... Do you remember double cut Les Pauls?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not that. And it is not a Les Paul.
Good thing you brought it up then.
Yeah. It's not a Les Paul named guitar. It's the Gibson Modern Double Cut.
Yeah.
So it's totally different. The top horn is longer than the bottom horn, like you'd see on a PRS or even a Strat. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. It is still the same scale length as Gibson's are, the 24 and 3/4, but it's 24 fret. So to accomplish that, they pushed the neck pickup down closer to the bridge, which is usually the reason I don't really like 24 fret guitars is it puts the neck pickup in not as cool a spot. Like it just think
it makes
they don't
the
sound
neck pickup
nice.
A little more bridgey.
Just a little bit, just 2 frets worth. And
at least it's not 30 frets worth.
It's still mahogany body and a maple cab with 2 humbuckers. So it's just a different shape to Les Paul, but they don't call it a Les Paul.
and you know, the mass and stuff is going to be different and the control layout's different.
Yeah, there's only 2 controls. There's master volume, master tone, and a 3-way selector. Mm-hmm. 24 medium jumbo frets. It's available in bullion gold, which is not gold top. I don't know why they...
It has a gold... It's not gold? Oh.
No, gold top is its own color. Bullion gold is like a different gold.
It's like darker.
A little bit. I think it's a little more three-dimensional.
Metallic
like you can
alien
see.
Green, if you're an idiot. Candy apple red, ebony. That looks nice. Heritage cherry sunburst. And sterling fade. Oh, the sterling fade. I always like those colors on Gibsons.
See, sterling fade... That's what makes it a PRS. Like it's that sort of like highly figured top with a really cool sunburst that's not red and orange and yellow. It's like a smoky gray.
I like the Gibson kind of silver burst look. I think is a really nice.
The silver burst is rad. I know a guy that's got like a 70 mid 70s Les Paul custom silver burst that's like yellowed and aged now. So it's like the middle is kind of. Almost goldish. Hmm. It's like a really faded, aged silver. It's very cool.
Wow.
And it's got a tummy cut on it, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And check out the back of the headstock. And you got to scroll down and look at the neck details.
Oh.
So there's a volute there, a very tiny volute, which is like a little bump between the end of the neck and the beginning of the headstock. But there's also now
is that a spine thing?
Huh?
Is that like a strength thing?
Yeah. Yeah. So the spine, there's now a spine that connects the volute all the way up to pretty much the top of the end tuners there. And what it does, because Gibsons are prone to, or more prone to, headstock breakage. So if it falls off a stand or something, the chances of a Gibson headstock breaking off versus a Fender, Gibson's way more likely to break because of the angle that they're at.
Yeah.
So this increases the strength and rigidity of that and is supposed to prevent that from happening.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I like it. I always liked volutes on guitars. I think they're comfortable when you're playing down low. It kind of gives you a nice stopping point. It's like the heel on the other end.
Yeah, it's like a protrusion.
Yeah, a protrusion.
So all this can be yours for the low, low price of $3,999.
Yeah, so it is from the Gibson Custom Shop. That's the other thing. Okay. So that's why it's expensive.
So will they may be rolling out. You know,
I wouldn't be surprised if there was like a production line, kinda, a Gibson USA version.
Yeah.
Actually, here we go. I'm going to add
$1,000 or $2,000 off the price, maybe.
Add another bullet to that. There's some other stuff from Gibson, too. While we're at it, they're doing some stuff called the Les Paul Standard Paintover, which, I mean, Fender's been doing for a little while.
I know where this is going. Yeah.
But that's when a guitar was one color. And then it gets sent to the factory to be repainted another color.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't strip it. They just paint right over it. Yeah. And over years and years of play, the top coat wears off and you can see the bottom coat underneath.
I wanted to make this but not wear them off.
So here's the thing.
Are they doing that? They sell you a guitar and they're like, trust me, there's green under there.
Remember when we made fun of Lenny Kravitz at the Super Bowl?
Was that the one where his dick fell out?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I remember that.
That's
the one.
He ripped
his pants and swung it around.
The very same.
Yep.
That guitar was supposedly a gold top with a black paint over, and everyone's like, check out Lenny's gold top, and the rest of the world is like, this shit is black, yo. So that's sort of the thing here. But now they're doing the relicking and stuff on these so you can see the color revealed, and you can get a few options. So we've got black over gold.
Stupid.
We've got black over gold, black over cherry sunburst, classic white over cherry sunburst, which is, I don't like white Les Pauls, I think. I mean, I know like Les Paul Customs are a different story. It's very Randy Rhodes and stuff, but still, I don't know.
Okay.
Gold over cherry sunburst and Kerry Green over dark burst, which is like, that was, come on. I don't know. It's not really a go-to Les Paul color. I like the gold or the black over gold. I'd be down. I wouldn't throw that thing away, let's say. I'd be fine with that. But I also wouldn't buy it because it's $6,000. let's see. They're also doing a new SG Custom, Firebird Custom, Explorer Custom, and Flying V Custom. So they're having that extra trim of detail and stuff you see on Les Paul Customs, but they're doing it across the whole line, which is really cool.
Okay.
All but the SG feature top binding, because SGs can't feature top binding because of the carbs.
They'll find a way to shoehorn it in there. It might be 2018, 2019, but they'll figure a way.
But man, look at this Firebird, the black and the gold and the trim. And oh, dude.
I accidentally looked at the Explorer instead.
Either way, it's fine. They they look really sharp.
Yeah, they do look literally sharp.
Yeah.
Well, the Explorer does.
Right, it's like you took a straight-up old-school black and gold, Black Beauty Les Paul Custom, and just applied that aesthetic to the other guitars.
I really like the look of the Firebird. I don't think I could ever pull it off.
That's the thing. Like, when I was in high school or early college, I almost bought an Explorer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like, I had been researching it a lot, and the word at the time was that the 58 Carina Epiphone Explorer was, for all intents and purposes, as good as the Gibson USA one for half the price. And I was like, you know, I could play one of those, right? Could I play one of those?
Well, you can. That's the thing. Yeah, it's I feel like it would spend all of my cool points if I were to strap on this Firebird and
I think you could pull off a Firebird. Most people, I think, can pull off Firebirds more than Explorers. Because, like, think about all the shows we played and that you played in other bands and so on. If you go to a show and you see the first band is up and the dude's playing an Explorer, what are you going to think? Are you
I'm gonna think either he's in Coheed and Cambria or Get Lost.
Yeah, is he the Edge? Is he Rivers Cuomo?
The Edge play Explorers? Yeah. So you're just naming people that I never would have thought played Explorers.
Yeah, it's like the Edge, Rivers, and Claudio. And that's
and James Hetfield.
Huh?
James Hetfield.
And well, he plays fucking ESP nonsense.
Well, they're okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. But then Kevin in Too Late the Hero plays an explorer-esque guitar sometimes, and he totally pulls it off and he just walks around like it's no fucking thing.
Maybe that's the secret. Maybe maybe the power is in the guitar.
And then actually Jack has a Firebird too. I think we're blowing the lid off of this thing. I think anyone can play these guitars and it makes
you
cool.
Anyone can play guitar. Took us 91 episodes.
Did we not tell you that already? Sorry, guys.
Oh my God, this whole time.
I just, it's one of those things. Like, everybody plays Tellys and Les Pauls and SGs. And I think about local scenes and stuff. And it's like, if I go to a show and some band pulls out a Flying V, what am I going to think? I'm probably, unfortunately, going to think, because I'm like, I would be an asshole. And I would be like, get a load of this guy. You know?
I would too.
Who plays a Flying V? Who plays a Firebird?
The occasional person.
You see it and you're like, yeah, I kind of want that.
Yeah, yeah. What's the story with the Flying V, though? I mean, unless you're like sitting down and like, you put the bottom.
The grippy pad.
Yeah,
on,
you put the thing like.
This one doesn't appear to have the grippy pad.
Or you put it like you put your thigh in that V.
Yeah.
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 And you play it like you're playing a classical guitar.
Yeah.
It's the classical guitar of electric guitars.
Mm-hmm.
It's also sort of a violin. I mean, look at it. You can feel. Don't you think you feel like
violin?
Oh God!
I get it.
I just exposed another conspiracy. This is turning out to be a rich news item.
But then at the same time,
how would you hold it up to your neck?
The Flying V is like also like Albert King made that thing iconic, legendary blues guitar player.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't.
They cross all boundaries.
It's like,
we are one.
It's transcendent.
Yeah.
I like that SG too. We should stop talking.
SGs are amazing.
I saw a couple on Craigslist around here for a pretty good deal.
Anyway, so Seymour Duncan Power Amp.
One last thing,
everybody.
Oh, boy.
The Power Stage 170. So this is actually a guitar amplifier, a real guitar amplifier that fits on your pedal board and has controls like a pedal, except it doesn't have a bypass switch, obviously. So the conceit here is that you bring this thing that's shaped like a kind of large pedal, and you can just plug it into any speaker cabinet and it works.
Be off to the races, yeah.
So it's a solid state jobby, I guess.
Yeah, it's
obviously.
Gotta be.
Are they they've got it they're claiming
it's 170 watt power amp. So I mean, it's not 170 watt tube amp.
Yeah, so in solid state, so that would probably be something like a 30 or a 40.
I was going to say
something.
Probably more.
Maybe more. I don't know. I don't know what the... Because it's not very linear, the conversion. Yeah. But anyway, so it's got a three-band tone stack and a level control.
The tone stack is plus-minus as well.
Active tone stack,
yeah. Yeah, so it's zero at 12 o'clock, and it'll go 0 to 47 dB. It's just got a big fat knob on the for the level. Mm-hmm. And I see this and I think of guys who are touring overseas.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, no problem. It's gotta be it's awesome for just going places where you're not confident in the power or not confident in the backline.
Or just don't want to carry something heavier. I mean, you put your put your tone in front of it.
You right. know,
if you're using cool pedals to... are they doing some modeling to make it more guitar ampy than just a straight...
I'm not sure. The only thing about modeling they reference is that it's great for modeling rigs, like modeling pedal boards and stuff.
Oh.
But it's also great with other just standard stomp boxes, so...
Yeah.
It seems like a really great like fly rig solution.
Mm-hmm. So
there's a demo on the site by Jared James Nichols, who is just a monster guitar player. And he kind of goes into depth about some of the details and demos it with a Black Star cab. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like it sounds awesome. Like there's no way.
Yeah,
like,
you can hear he's using different pedals through it. His tone's a bit more fuzz than I would have predicted.
He's like a blues rock guitarist, blues just rock, straight up overdriven fuzzy amps and stuff. Yeah.
See here at the bottom of the page, the Power Stage 700.
Yeah.
It's a little
that's
more
been out for a little
brick.
While, I think.
Okay, so
that's,
this one's
I
sort
think
of
that's more of like a rack unit.
Looks
type
like it's
deal.
A half rack.
Mm-hmm.
But same basic idea. It's got two inputs. A little juicier. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, same idea.
But same controls, like same level EQ.
Just a bigger amp.
And it does the same ranges on all of those things as well. Mm-hmm. This will go direct to PA, though.
Oh, it will?
Yeah.
The 700?
The 700 will go direct to PA.
A lineup.
Which must be killer for something like it's pictured here with the Fractal Axe FX. Like, it's got to be perfect for that kind of thing.
But you don't, for going straight to PA...
I guess you don't need the Fractal can do that, yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, like,
it depends on how you use the Fractal, too.
I suppose.
You can use it in different ways.
If they're saying, it's great to go after a modeling amplifier, well, I mean, that's stupid. Like,
no, I think they mean it's great to go after something like the Line 6 Helix, or like...
But even that is, that's finished. You go right into the PA.
Unless you're using it for effects only.
All right.
You know, because a lot of people use Fractal stuff for only effects changes. And not
isn't
the
there a cheaper multi-effects unit that would... Okay, never mind. Don't care.
I know. And if you're paying that much for a Fractal, I would
use the hell out of those amps.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, so yeah, that looks like a cool device, and it did sound cool. So, pretty nice.
Cool. Feeling good.
Yeah.
Felt like a good episode.
Yeah.
Somebody, Righteous Ryan, sent me a news thing that I chose to not include this time because it was going to run long, but I will likely include it next time. So, you know, well, like I said to Justin before we started, that there's a few other news things from when we were out that were, it's easier to just spread them out because we're not a breaking news show anyway. So it's like, let's just cover it when we can cover it. And so we'll have two normal episodes instead of one monster episode that we rush through and don't really like doing. So.
Cool. All right. I'm going to have dreams about the metallic alien green color.
Somehow that's going to tie into your whole like skull numbing afternoon, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to have a weird nightmare tonight.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Cool. Well, thanks to Pedal Genie as always for sponsoring Tone Control. And
to all the components out there?
Sure.
Sure. All them. I can't. Hold on.
Well, now it's weird.
I know. Shut up. Ah! I blew it. I'm trying to... Here, select. And then it's like the little arrow, and sometimes I miss the arrow. Okay. Anyway.
Fat finger in it?
Yeah. So, anyway, good episode. Bye, everybody.
To all the components out there in the tone control circuit, thanks for listening.